God is good. So I want you to pull out your Bibles. We're going to be in the book of what? James. If you've been here, you know we're in a series of messages going through the book of James. James was Jesus' half-brother, his little brother, and he wrote a book, and it's found in our Bibles. And so if you pull out your Bible, you can turn or tap to the book of James. We're going to be in the third chapter of that and here in just a moment. So how many of you, just wave at me real quick, how many of you were here last week for Pastor Donnie's message on our tongue? Good advice, isn't it? Man, if you can control your tongue, you can control your whole life. How many of you have ever lost control of your tongue before? And it burned some stuff down, didn't it? Yes, it did. So we just give a great shout out and thank you to Pastor Donnie last week. Tina and I were in New Jersey, which was never a goal in my life, but they have a beach. And so, I shouldn't have said that, I'm sorry. But they have a beach, and so we were at Wildwood Beach in New Jersey, North Wildwood, and we had a great time just riding our bikes around and sitting on the beach. And I just realized this morning that I never did touch the ocean. I was at the beach for a whole week, and if you know me, you know I don't like water, and I successfully avoided it the whole time. But I love the sound of the waves and bike riding and going out to eat with my wife and my family, and it's wonderful. And so we had a great time of rest and relaxation. How many of you have ever been to Wildwood there? Anybody? A couple of you? Some of you? Okay, so what I want to draw a picture for you, because it's actually going to tie into what I'm going to say here today. But there's this seawall in the northern part of Wildwood, North Wildwood, built up, and used a place for you to walk. And so Tina and I were like, what are we going to do on the beach? So we're walking on the seawall, and we can see kind of off in the distance, the water just looked a little weird. Like, I'm like, what in the world is going on? So we had like having this conversation. I was, look at that, honey. How many have ever seen something that just didn't make sense in your brain when you're looking at it? And you're trying to think, what is happening here? So the closer we get, we realize, you know, some of the water out in this kind of this bay area at the top of North or Wildwood is some of the water appeared to be going one direction, and some of the water appeared to be going another direction. Like the waves, the crests of the water were. Some were going this way and some were going the other way. I'm like, that does not compute. That is a weird situation. Something is off about that. And so we get up there and then we see this sign. And I'm going to put the sign up on the screen. If those of you online, you can see it. There's a sign that says, danger, unprotected beach, sudden drop off, advisory, deadly currents, real risk of drowning. Any use of the beach, ocean, and tidal areas at this location is at your own risk. All right, so that explains. That's all the information I needed to stay out of the water. Now, I can imagine some people would read that sign and you're like, you're daring me to swim across there, aren't you? You think I can't get across there. Well, I can get across there. Well, truth is, people have drowned at this beach. Multiple people have, because they didn't heed the information. But that is the information that we need. There are dangerous currents. So what we saw there was water coming in from one direction and water coming in from another direction. And it kind of meeting out in the middle of this bay kind of area. And it almost had a whirlpool look to it. And it was like, I'm not going out there. I'm not going out there. Danger advisory. Now, as I looked at that, and, you know, most everything in my life ends up being a sermon illustration sooner or later, right? And so I look at that, and I just realize, you know what? There's so much about our world today that is a lot like that situation. Like lots of cross currents, currents going in the opposite direction and meeting in the middle and causing a dangerous situation, deadly currents, risk, real drowning possibility here. And as we come into this next section of James, this is so pertinent. This is actually fits right in with what we're going to talk about today, and that's on wisdom. Maybe, you know, I said that's enough information. There was enough information on that sign that anybody who would read that sign would then be able to take that information and do something with it, and that is called wisdom. the proper use of information is wisdom. James is going to talk a lot about wisdom in this section. And I want the main first point for us all to grasp is this. God wants to help you to be wise. God will help you to be wise. How many of you could use more wisdom in your life? Amen. Two hands, right? Most of us, anyway. How many of you got it all figured out and you really are okay? You're like, God, you keep your wisdom, I'll keep my wisdom. And, well, is that wise? In James chapter 3, verse 13, you can skip down to that verse. He asked this question, and it's a great question for all of us to answer. Who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise and understanding among you? That's a great question. It gets us thinking, and I'll just ask you that question. You don't have to answer it out loud, but think through it. How many of you would say, yes, I've got some wisdom in my life? Who is wise and understanding among you? How many of you have, you're really okay with making your own decisions and setting your own course, and you feel pretty confident most of the time, and you're willing to do that? And most of us need to have a level of confidence in making decisions and being wise in our lives. But we're going to get into something here that James wants us to know, that God ultimately puts out there, that God wants to help us make better decisions, make wise decisions, how to take in information and knowledge and turn that into actually doing the wisest thing in our lives. There's a great question that is sometimes asked, and it's this. Based upon your past experiences and what you've learned and your future hopes and dreams, what is the wisest thing for you to do? Right? Based on what you've learned in your past and your future hopes and dreams, what is the wisest thing for you to do? God wants us to take into account what he's taught us and what he wants to teach us, and to use that to produce in our lives wise choices and wise courses of action. He wants us to be wise. Be wise. But there is a current. There are a lot of contradictory bits of information coming at us. Pastor Jim even mentioned it. He didn't see my notes, but there it is. There's a lot of information in our world. We live in an information world. This is the age of information. You can find out anything and find 10 experts to back it up. And oftentimes, those experts are contradictory. You can find a whole other batch of people who say, no, that's exactly the opposite of what's real. And how many of you have, in this last couple of years, just found that to be true and very frustrating? Yeah. Now, when it comes to contradictory information that actually is life-threatening, it becomes more and more important. And as I looked at that water at Wildwood, I'm thinking, that is a summary of our day and age. So we're going to talk about that. James wants us to be wise, and Jesus wants us to be wise. These currents are often contradictory. Now, as I looked at that water and as you looked at that sign, you maybe were with me in your imagination, like, I'm just going to stay out of the water. I'm just going to stay out of the conflict. I'm going to stay out of the conversation. I'm going to go into self-preservation mode, and I'm just going to try to be my own, you know, little world and isolate from all of the junk out there that's going on in this mess. Well, we'll talk about that too. How many of you, that would be your first initial reaction? I'm just gonna leave all of that alone. That's me too. I'm like, I don't want to touch any of that stuff. I'm gonna stay above that. But James is gonna challenge us here. So anyway, let's go back. We're gonna read James 3:13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Meekness of wisdom. I did a little slip there, because many times we think that meekness is weakness, and that if we're going to be meek, then we're not strong, and we want to be strong. But let me tell you something, that word in the original language is very, you know, translators all agree, this is a very difficult word to translate into English. The best word is meekness, but it doesn't carry all of the meaning of that original word. In English, we see meekness and we think just mildness and and just kind of just weak. Meek is weak, and that is not the language, that is not the meaning of that original word. In fact, we would look at it and say there's a lack of courage, there's a lack of conviction in meekness, but Jesus was described as meek. And so we would look at Jesus and realize, you know what, then there's something that we're not understanding about that word. The meekness of wisdom and the meekness that the Lord manifested in his life was really a disposition of self-control with power. So meekness, we ought to read that and think differently. We ought to think about power in reserve, power in control. Jesus had access to everything, legions of angels, and yet he didn't call upon that in his time. What he did do was he composed himself. He didn't lose control. He remained meek. And that is the meaning of this word. So if we're going to be wise in our day and in our time, we're going to have to be in self-control, knowing who we are in Christ and living that out with confidence, but without arrogance. Let me say it again, with confidence, but yet without arrogance. How many of you would recognize the motto of our day is if you're not reacting, you're not reacting if you're not overreacting. And how many of you noticed, if just people are kind of just going crazy with overreactions to everything. Like you can't even talk to someone without them being offended on many topics today. And it's very difficult. And as a preacher, as a communicator, I get up here pretty much every week and I have to declare things that are from the scriptures that I have the conviction and knowing that God puts in there for our good, and yet find a way to communicate them in a way that hopefully doesn't offend too many people, and the message then is heard. How many of you know that's a fine line? How many of you have ever experienced that fine line of talking to somebody about a sensitive topic that you have the conviction that what the Scripture says, what God says, is not going to be welcomed in the ears of the hearer, and so you need to have that approach of meekness and the wisdom together. And I think that that's what James is describing for us here today. And he goes on, he says in verse 14, we're going to see a little bit more of these currents combating each other here in these next couple of verses. 14, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exists, there will be disorder and every vile practice. Now, wow, that's a mouthful, isn't it? As you read through that and you realize there's this wisdom, verse 15, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above. Just think about that verse in itself. The wisdom, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above. Let me bring you up the next point. There are two opposing currents of wisdom in our world today. Two opposing currents, and I put wisdom in quotations because one is real wisdom and the other is false wisdom. James here describes for us wisdom from above, which he is implying and will say, the wisdom from the true wisdom from above is wisdom that comes from God. But there's another so-called wisdom in the world today, and it is up from the bottom. It is earthly, it says, unspiritual, and it even includes demonic. So that there is a way of thinking about the life, gathering information, and making decisions in our lives that we will think is wise, but yet actually is in contrast or is contradictory to the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And that is the giant swirling pool of mess in our culture today, isn't it? Some people like, and Christians who take the Bible seriously are reading the scriptures and you're like, no, please, people, this is not right. This is sin. This isn't going to get you where God loves you. God wants you to turn from that. And we can beg people and plead people, but yet at the same time, there's other information pouring into our culture that is contradictory and it is not helpful. And James describes it as earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. With that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. I thank you for every person who is here or is watching online. And we just lift this moment in time up to you. Father, as we open up the book of James, and we expect that you will speak to us, that you will hear our hearts, and that you will give us wisdom in these moments, that you give me the words to explain, Lord Jesus, what you put on my heart. And I just ask for these moments that we have together to be protected. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. So two opposing currents of wisdom, true wisdom that comes down from God. He gives us that information and the use of that information. And if you've ever wondered, I wonder what God has to say on this topic. Let me just say, just open your Bible. I mean, that's too simple. And I joked, I think 2 weeks ago, I joked, how many of you would like to have an airplane fly across with a big ticker tape on the back of it that tells you exactly what to do? Well, I was laying on the beach this week, and Eat at Joe's Crab Shack was like, I don't know, they were literally flying planes constantly across the beach with these ticker tapes, and I'm like, I don't think that's good advice. So don't take every sign on the back of an airplane as a message from God. Just saying. So with that, sorry, that was a distraction, but two opposing currents of wisdom. And so there is a wisdom that comes from God, and that knowledge, base of knowledge or base of information is in the scriptures. And so we can read the Bible, we can understand what God has to say, but it is up to us then to apply those truths to our lives with wisdom. And it is sometimes a difficult thing to live by the information and the wisdom of Scripture in a day and age, which this has always been the day and age, where the rest of the world does not want to listen and apply those truths to their lives. So we live in this whirlpool of things right now, and as Christians have always lived in that contradictory soup of culture, we still have to do it today. But it is up to us to seek that knowledge out, that wisdom out, and to live that life that is pleasing to the Lord. And the execution of that wisdom in our lives will bring God's best for us. Notice what he says here. He says that in verse 14, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition." Bitter jealousy is an interesting phrase. And I don't know that you would ever identify yourself as having bitter jealousy, but jealousy, that bitter jealousy, basically means that to walk in an offense, someone abuses or takes advantage of you or treats you poorly or discriminates against you, and that becomes an offense. There's a bitterness, a jealousy there. And he says, you know, first off, there's if this is what's happening in you, if you're reacting out of jealousy, out of bitterness, then there's not going to be any wise outcome for you. If you start with the wrong beginning point, you're going to end up in the wrong destination. Notice where he has this. If you have this, don't boast, don't be prideful and false to the truth, but break away from that and come back into God's wisdom. How many of you ever heard the story of Joseph from the Old Testament? Joseph and his brothers, and so Joseph was one of 12 brothers, and basically they hated him. His brothers hated him and wanted to get rid of him, and so they sold him into slavery, and Joseph is taken into slavery, and he ends up in a place of authority, and then someone else turns on him, and he ends up in prison, and he's in prison for a long time, and he helps some guys, and they forget about him, and so just bad thing after bad thing after bad thing happens to Joseph. And we read the story of Joseph, and it becomes very amazing, because Joseph doesn't take on the offense. Like my siblings, and I've got a bunch of, if they all turned on me all of a sudden, I'd probably get a little bitter. If they sold me into slavery, I would be really bitter. And we can look at our lives, and maybe they're not lined up exactly with Joseph's life, but if you've had bad things happen to you because of people mistreating you, the easiest thing to do is become bitter over it and allow that to be the motivation for your decisions in your future. And James is pointing out to us that is not going to be wisdom, and it's not going to get you where you want to go. But what Joseph does do is ultimately in the story, his brothers unknowingly have to come and basically bow down to Joseph to receive food to keep them alive. And it's a powerful story, but Joseph does not return abuse for abuse. What he does do is he realizes that God has positioned him to be a help to his family in that time of need. And let me put it this way. There's a lot of things happening in the world today that we as Christians can get very offended over, but our calling is not to be offended. Our calling is to be seen as positioned to help people in the situation. And I hope that that is our prayer. And as we progress here and through this James chapter 3, my plan is for us to pray as individuals, but as a church, for the wisdom of God in our future, that we will walk this out, this life that we have, with wisdom. Because God has placed us for a certain purpose in our world today. The next biggest point, and I've already made it, true wisdom is from God. Verse 17, it says, "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." Just take a moment and look at those words. So this is what real wisdom is. We've got a world just yelling, screaming, rioting, canceling, pointing, complaining, blah, 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 right? And James says that's not wisdom. That's earthly, that's unspiritual, that's demonic. Real wisdom is first pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial, and sincere. Now, I want to kind of give you an assignment this week to kind of dig into those words just a little bit. I'm not going to go into all of them, but how many of you would recognize there's a real contrast here? The way we are to handle ourselves in moments of pressure look very different than our natural reactions. He wants us to use the wisdom from above. Two very different characteristics. One is bitter and selfish, and the other is in control and under authority. God placing us in places where we can make right decisions and help people. True wisdom is the wisdom from above. So let's talk about that. Wisdom from above is God. It comes from God. I've already mentioned that we can find that, the mass sum of that information in the scriptures as we read our Bibles and understand what God has already said and what he is communicating to us and form those convictions and our understanding of what God is. But God is the one who gives those to us. They are not going to be logically the same as what the world is going to find as their information and the result or what feeds into their wisdom. How many of you have ever read Romans chapter 1 before? Okay, let me insert this, and we're not going to read the whole chapter, but Romans chapter 1 talks a lot about how God presents himself as the obvious creation or the origin of the creation, that God is created and his attributes are easily seen to the world, but yet the world turns away from and doesn't want to look at the existence of God. And because of that turning away, in fact, there's a verse here in verse 28, he says, "Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so God gave them over to a depraved mind so that they do what ought not to be done. Now, that's a tricky verse, but here's the, let me boil it down. Because they didn't want, and people still don't want, to acknowledge that God is who he is, that God has said what he has said, and they don't want to retain that knowledge in their lives and thereby making wise decisions in their lives, God says, okay. God says, okay. You can make your own choices. You can make your own decisions. You can have your own conclusions. There are just simply going to be consequences to those things. And the outcome is not going to be what you want. And it would be easy for us. And again, I've addressed you all as Christians, and there's a good chance that some of you aren't. And that's okay. You are very welcome. In fact, I hope there's never a Sunday, where we're just 100% a bunch of been there, done that Christians. Right? Because all of us need to learn, and all of us start somewhere. But God wants us to be wise. He wants to teach us. He wants to instruct us. He loves us. And he will help us form who we are based on who he says we are. And then help us to walk those conclusions out in real life with wisdom. But it's easy for us who have been a Christian for a long time just to stand back and say, man, the world is such a mess, I'm out. Right? I'm just going to stay in my house. I'm just going to watch my own channels. I'm just not going to engage. And look at people and say, you know what? You should have read the sign to stay out of the water. If you drown, it's your own fault. Right? How many of you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you have just said that before? It's like, you could have read the sign. Stay out of the water. Right? If you drown, it's on you. However, verse 18 of James chapter 3 scolds us for that kind of thinking. Verse 18 says this. He says, and a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. For those who make peace, blessed are the peacemakers. Do you know that the most unpopular position in the beginning of a meeting of conflict is the peacemaker in the middle, right? Because if you're going to be a peacemaker, you don't pick sides. So you've got no friends going in. And you're trying to get two different groups of people to agree with each other. To make peace is actually to jump in the middle of conflict. And he says, blessed are those who make peace. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That's our calling as believers, as a church, as Christians, as Jesus followers in this world, is to be in the middle of things and not to insulate and isolate, but to be in the middle. And so let me take us back to the illustration. And I hope that you can kind of envision the ocean where I'm talking about the currents and all of that out there, because we're standing on the beach, you know. But where should the church be? In the middle of that mess. Right? We should be making wise decisions not to endanger our lives, but at the same time, we're called to be in the middle of the mess. To rescue people, not to get sucked under, but to be there to help people and to rescue people, to sow in peace and be those who make peace. There's this chapter in the Bible, a couple chapters in the Bible, way back in 1 Chronicles, chapter 11, chapter 12, chapter 13, where it was very early in the nation of Israel, and Saul had been ordained king, and he started off pretty good. He was the first king of Israel, and he started off pretty good, but he just kind of made compromise after compromise after compromise, and he started to listen more to people than to God, and he was making bad decisions, and ultimately he turned his heart from God, and God turned his heart from him, and it was time to for Saul. He was killed in battle and his sons were killed. But God had turned away from Saul and had turned his heart to anoint David as king. And so in chapter 12, what we're seeing here are some of the people of Israel coming and moving from the camp or the reign of Saul to the reign of David. Okay, so there's this middle point is what I'm trying to get to in the nation of Israel. They were moving from one king to the next king, and there was a huge potential for conflict. People were assembling for war. It was a tense moment in the nation. And then he's talking, as it goes down through Chronicles, these men from this tribe come, and they come to David. And these men from this tribe, they come to David. And it goes down through the chapter. And then it comes down to the men of Issachar. And Issachar was one of the sons of Israel, one of the 12 tribes. And the Bible just throws this thing out there about the men of Issachar. One verse. And this is what it says in verse 32, chapter 12, 1 Chronicles. Of Issachar, men who had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. And this is my prayer today. And whether you've been following me or not, honestly, my message, I got to just tell you, my message didn't flow as much as I had hoped it to. It was a little clunky from my preaching standpoint. So for that, I apologize. But the bottom line is this. The church is called into a situation right now in our world where it would be much easier if we just avoided the whole thing. But if we're going to be Jesus followers and use the wisdom of God, we have to see ourselves not as staying it safe on the beach, but seeing people who are drowning in the midst of the swirling mess. The men of Issachar were such men that they understood the times, right? So they could see the world as it was. They understood the times, but they also knew what to do. And my prayer, and what I'm asking for us to be, for it to be our prayer, is that we as Christians, as a church, and as a group of people, we would not only understand the times, but we would know what to do. After this, we're going to go into, some of us have signed up to work on a planning meeting for our youth ministry relaunch in the fall. This is part of our prayer for that, right? Youth ministry is a necessary thing. But our kids are being attacked with all kind of confusion. And we're called to head into the middle of it. And that's just one people group. The same thing is true for kids. The same thing is true for young adults. The same thing is true for people who are trying to live and are single. Those who are trying to be married well. Those who are trying to live well, work well. All of these things that we all go through and struggle with. There's all kind of contradictory information, and the church is really called to come into the middle of that, to not just point fingers and understand the times, but also to know what to do. And we need God's wisdom. The good news is God invites us to ask Him for it. Doesn't he? God wants us to ask him for his wisdom. Also in James, but back in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. The beginning of the section of chapter 3, I started off with, how many of you are wise and understanding? And all of us have some wisdom and understanding. But in chapter 1, he starts off by saying, how many of you lack wisdom? How many of you will be willing to say, I know some things, but there's some things I don't know too. There's some things I'm sure about, but there's some things I'm not sure about. There's some things I know how to handle, And there's some things that really are beyond my ability. And as I look at the culture at large, there's some things that the church are called to be in the middle of that quite honestly looks like a drowning scenario. And we need wisdom to go into it. And we need to pray. We need to pray. I ask us just to turn our hearts right now. If you're listening, you're here in this room, or you're sometime in the future, you're listening, or you're online live right now, and there's a situation in your life right now, that you're in the middle of and you don't know what to do, you don't know how to speak, you don't know how to address it, you don't know how to handle it. You see some conflict in your family and your friends and work. You've got some convictions, but you also want to present the truth, and at the same time you're trying to influence, and you just don't know what to do, right? You just don't know what to do. Then I want you to be praying right now as we pray together for your situation, for wisdom in this moment, in the time that you are going through. But I also want us to focus upon where we are called to be in the middle of things as a church. For Kids Blitz coming up, youth ministry, young adults, all of it. We're called as a church into these arenas to help and rescue people. And we need God's wisdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for who you are, and that, Lord, you could have let us all drown in our own sin and in the consequences of our own decisions of rejecting you and turning away from you. But you saw it fit. In fact, you saw it to be wise to place yourself at harm's reach, to give your life for us, to save us, to rescue us. We pray, Lord, today that you would give us wisdom in the situations that we each face. The conflicts that we're in, that we're pulled into, or placed into, and we need your wisdom. We need your wisdom in ways of how to act and what to say, how to conduct ourselves, and we need your Holy Spirit to walk us through it. So you tell us to ask that you will give generously to all without reproach. So we ask for it. Father, we also pray as a church, as a corporate body under your leadership and your authority, that, Lord, right in our own communities and our own schools and our own politics and our own work situations and family and friends and all of it, Lord, and sometimes it just seems so confusing and such a mess, but you call us to make peace, to act wisely, meekly, I pray, Lord God, as we endeavor as a church to reach our community and the kids in our community at Kids Blitz this year, that, Lord, you'd give us your ideas, your wisdom. There would be a harvest of righteousness in our community. We pray, Lord God, for teenagers. We pray for those who just are under so much influence that is not from you, that you give us your wisdom in how to reach, how to love, how to relate to, Lord, and how to influence for you. Lord, ultimately we realize that we're not the rescuer, you are. But you do send us. And we need your wisdom. Lord, I pray that you would bind us together as a church in these days to meet the calling that you've placed upon our lives. That we not isolate and insulate, but that we'd be your people in this place. Like Issachar, Lord, that we would not only understand the times, but we would know what to do. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.